Welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast, featuring advice and interviews about athlete branding. Learn how marketing, public relations, and broadcasting can grow your brand. We also have special episodes to talk about recent news, events, and anything in the world of sports. The podcast is sponsored by Pliable, a versatile marketing, PR, and broadcasting company that identifies opportunities and creates tailored content for its clients. Now it's time to roll. Here's your host, Greg Glenn.
Thanks for tuning in today. And for those of you new to the show, welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. We're glad you're here. If you're one of our many loyal listeners, thanks for being part of the podcast. And we look forward to another great episode for you today. In this episode, we're talking about scouting and playing professional baseball. Today's guest is the perfect person to talk to because, as we say in the business, he's been there and he's done that. His name's Todd Blylevin. He pitched seven seasons in the minor leagues, reaching double A. Then he scouted. He is also the son of Bert Blylevin. Of course, Todd was drafted by the California Angels in the 39th round of the 1990 amateur draft out of high school, which is something we'll talk about here today. He's got 40 plus years of Major League Baseball experience, 25 plus years of professional coaching, 16 years in combined pro playing and scouting. He's signed 25 plus players to MLB contracts. Todd, welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Greg. I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. We are excited to have you. And there's a lot that we get to talk about today. And I think the first thing that I wanted to start with is obviously being the son of a Hall of Famer. Talk to me about growing up with your dad.
Oh, geez. Totally different life. Pure, joy. I mean, I got to go to the ballpark just about every day as a kid up until about my high school years and rub elbows and run around with some of the greatest athletes in the game at that time. Guys like Cal Ripken and, taking ground balls next to him, or an Ozzie Smith. And it was just, he had full access to everything in and out of the game with all of those athletes. And they became my brothers, my uncles, my second, third, fourth, fifth dads. And, that's where I grew up, was in a clubhouse, and I cherished every moment of it.
Yeah, that's a really cool opportunity. As you look back at that opportunity, do you think that, shaped who you are today and really kind of gave you that motivation and that, ability to know that there were opportunities in baseball?
Yeah, I think, one thing you quickly learn in being in, say, a major league clubhouse or around professionals that, are going after it every single day. They're going after that dream, whether it's a hit a home run in a game and be the game hero, or it's winning a World Series, or it's just making it to a certain level. There's this feeling that you get when you're around those individuals. It's the confidence. And what you quickly learn too is how to deal with failure. And, most of everybody knows, we fail most of the time in our life, and especially growing up. And it's how you learn from that. It's how you, pick yourself up, dust yourself off and move forward. The other thing that I think you really learn, which helped me where I'm at today, is learning, routine, consistency, timing, and really being a student of the game. Of really life. And those players at the major league level have the ability to adapt pitch by pitch, game by game. They trust their consistency, their routine. They're extremely routine. I had a chance to be around Albert Pujols, one of the greatest players in the game that's ever produced. And his routine, he's a machine with what he does in the morning to how he puts his head down at night. And so I think, there's obviously a lot of fun that was had in that time. That's where I've learned, you got to have fun in life, but work hard. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I like what you said about student of the game. I think that that's oftentimes where you see the most successful athletes is those who appreciate the game and who came before them and the value that's there. So that makes sense. Now, obviously, I ask a lot of my guests who their favorite athlete was growing up, other than your dad. How about that? Let's go with that.
Oh, geez. You know, I was it probably went in stages, but Willie Stargell and Dave Parker were probably my two favorite athletes growing up in my elementary, middle school years. Kirby Puckett was, and Tom Bernanski with the Twins. They were, you know, probably my favorite athletes. And again, I was pretty spoiled. I mean, these guys were taking me out and throwing batting practice to me and spending time with me. And Terry Bradshaw was a big, you know, I loved watching him play. You know, I got a chance to throw the football around with him when I was seven in Pittsburgh, and that was an amazing treat. And he didn't have to do that, but he did. He spent some time with me, and I think I probably have a million athletes I could keep listing. Just anybody that spent time with me and genuinely cared about having some fun. So. Yeah. I always enjoyed being around those guys.
That makes sense. Let's talk about a mentor or someone that has impacted your career the most. You know, obviously playing, you know, in minor league baseball is a grind, you know, and trying to make it there. And talk to me about maybe who has been a mentor or impacted your career maybe the most.
I think when I got out of playing baseball and I went through that really hard transition in life and tried to figure out what the heck am I supposed to do. You know, obviously I had some great guidance from my wife, and my girlfriend at the time, but you know, now we've been married for almost 20 years. And I think, you know, the Tommy Davis, when I first got a scouting job, Tommy Davis and Donnie Rowland with the Angels, they were, Tommy was my Midwest cross checker and Donnie Rowland was the scouting director at the time. I think, you know, they really shaped the concept and idea of what scouting is to me. And I think I fell in love with it because of their work ethic and their attention to detail. And they really guided me as a young, you know, ambitious employee of a company learning a new job, even though it's in the sports world. It's really different than playing. And so they were true mentors. And then in my corporate space, I would say Tony Armand, that was the CEO of Shock Doctor Sports, a couple brands before that. But he's the one that got me out of the scouting, coaching realm and into a corporate field where it blessed me because I had the opportunity to watch my kids grow up over the weekends. I was able to coach Dylan's team and be there for my daughter's dance recitals, and I fell in love with working with global brands. And so Tony Armand really, you know, really opened up that door and showed me the light there. So those are probably my mentors in terms of shaping my life and where it is and how it's gone today.
Yeah. And I'm glad you bring up the corporate world because that's exactly what you've done. I always talk about how athletes use their athlete brand. And that is exactly what you did. You transitioned out of baseball. You became a scout, but now you've transitioned to having your own business. And talk to me about the Scout Hub. This is exciting for people to learn about.
I appreciate it. So, you know, a couple of years ago, I still consult with MLB teams and help them with identifying pitcher and hitter tendencies and things before their big meetings. And, I ended up, you know, finding out that the technology they were using was very similar, if not the same technology as what I was using in 2009 when I was at the Rockies. And I've been a student of sports analytics, sports technology over the last several years. I've consulted with multiple global brands on that account, been an expert in connecting algorithm theories and just all the fun stuff that I guess I call it the nerdy side of sports. And I embraced it, knowing that this is where sports has gone and where it's going. And so I started the Scout Hub to really try to put all of my background and my education and my network into one place where I can help athletes, coaches, organizations achieve their not only short-term goals with maybe an organization holding on to players, better communicating with players, families being educated on what's going on with their kids in those organizations, how they're being developed, providing really easy, very affordable, which is big to me. I don't think anybody really should pay a ton of money in today's technological age for the information that is so accessible to them, that helps them at the dinner table make a have a conversation with their kids and say, hey, how'd practice go? It went great. Oh yeah, I received your coach's report last week, and it's telling me all these things. And now mom and dad are in the conversation, and they're not left in the dark. So everything I've done has tried to attack and position myself to help certain empathetic kind of fears and barriers and pain points with the families, the athletes, the athlete exposure piece, with providing a really state-of-the-art product called the Athlete Resume that provides tremendous exposure, easy, up-to-date web. It's basically a custom web page that athletes can go on and update all their information, social analytics, everything. And you talk about branding. I mean, this is a great place where they need to make sure that their brand is solid when they're reaching out to college coaches. But I just continue to build products that I know me as a dad walking through the journey with my son that's going to be a collegiate athlete next year. We're into the final stages of his high school senior year in baseball, and my daughter being a dancer, that there's a tough decisions, tough conversations to have as a family on the financial side, making sure, at the end, we want our children to succeed. That's all we want. We want them to have a smile on their face. We want them to be happy. And we walk along that line of being able to hopefully trust the people that are guiding our kids. And that's the organizations, the coaches. And so without a full transparency kind of mindset where they're being transparent with the parents and they're letting the parents know what's going on with their kids, you're in the dark the majority of your kids' practice time. So that's all I've tried to do is on the Scout Hub, try to produce really easy software for coaches and organizations to use to provide great data to the families and the athlete to hopefully better their game. And then on the athlete exposure side, try to really produce something that's super affordable. I mean, $60 for a lifetime custom web page. So yeah, we've seen tremendous success with it, right out of the gates, and I'm really, really blessed and fortunate, surrounded by great people, and just trying to have fun. So yeah.
I love the athlete resume concept. Obviously, with the work that we do here at Pliable, people can have an opportunity to check this out at thescouthub.com. You can go learn about the athlete resume, where basically it's an online web page, like Todd has described, that allows you to upload your videos, highlights, information, your social media accounts, which for an athlete who's trying to build their brand, that is exactly what these coaches and scouts are looking at. They want to know more about you. And this is a great way to share your personality, but also at the same time, all the statistical information and the data that's out there now when it comes to all this information on all these sports that now they can have at their fingertips and not have to be calling around or digging through websites. And again, as I tell athletes all the time, you've got to control your own content. So what better way to have your own web page where you can do that? So I think it's fantastic, and I would highly recommend anybody check it out. Again, the athlete resume is a great tool to add to your toolbox. So
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I wanted to talk about is maybe some of the ways that you, as former professional baseball player, have used your athlete brand to your advantage. And I think about it a lot when I hear about what you did to try and start your business.
It's funny, growing up and having the dad that I had when he was playing, the playing dad, you know, I wanted to separate myself from that and create my own identity. And that was really challenging with having a last name, you know, that's not very common, but obviously well known in the baseball industry. So no matter where I went, I was always recognized as Bert's son.
Yeah.
And as hard as I tried to, you know, pitch or throw the ball when I was playing, I was still Bert's son. And so, you know, it took me a while to really embrace that. And when I did, I quickly realized that, holy cow, this can open up a lot of doors for me. And I was very cautious on how I used it because, you know, nobody wants to be at a party and, you know, me introduce myself as, hey, I'm Bert Blyleven's son, Todd. So I always try to introduce myself as Todd. And then eventually they would find out who I was or who I was related to. And but, you know, one thing that I used in that, and I, you know, my dad was a great guy and he was he's very personable and he gives back to charities. And there's a ton of things that he did, not only in his on field, but off field to really help people. And so I embrace that because that's why wouldn't I want to be associated with that brand and be more like him? And so he became, you know, my mentor, my idol, you know, growing up in terms of wanting to be like him. I wanted to be able to have a job that I could do the things that he did, you know, after I was playing and give back. And so I think, you know, as a scout, you brought something up. When, you know, I would go to ball games, you know, I'd quickly listen for the conversation in the stands around players. I listened to how the friends were talking about the kid up at the plate getting ready to hit that I was really there to see. I'd listen to the parents talk. I'd pick out the parents and figure out, you know, are they what kind of people are they? Is that the dad up on the fence screaming at the kid because he didn't swing? Is he calling out swing while the ball's halfway across, you know, the field coming towards the plate? And so you quickly, you know, quickly understand who the athlete is. And then you're also digging into their social profiles. Today, it's full exposure. I mean, I tell my son all the time, you know, you got to really make sure and be careful on what you're posting up, how you're presenting yourself as a person, as a player, because the schools, the coaches, nobody can afford to bring on somebody that's A, making a lot of mistakes and doing some not so great things, but also two, I think, you know, and you and I spoke about this when you're talking about the branding coming from the athlete side. If you've got a positive brand image on the web and it's publicly shown, then that only creates a better opportunity for you and better conversation with those college coaches you're trying to go after and get them to like you. It's instant. You've got no bad, you know, tarnish. You're polished up already. So I tried to do that throughout my corporate career. It wasn't an easy journey for me to learn everything I've learned to this point, and I continue to learn more daily. But I was just trying to be a really good guy and tried to, you know, when I post things, maybe hopefully it helps people and it's encouraging and things like that. So yeah, it's branding is so big, so yeah. Huge.
And the other thing, talking about helping people, I do want to mention this story because this is one of the things I learned about you and didn't know, but was back down at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival on the Las Vegas Strip in Nevada. You saved lives at the mass shooting at Mandalay Bay in October of 2017. And that to me was a story that I read online that really was just fantastic. So talk to me about that experience. I know obviously it's an emotional event, but just share with us just that story.
You know, it's never an easy thing to talk about. So I'll give you the PG version of it, is how I like to describe it. You're painting a picture. You're there with a group of friends and family and young kids. I call them kids, but they're, you know, 21 years old, 22, 23. These are kids that we've known our entire life, and my wife and other family members, and you're there having a great time at a concert, you know, and you're free and carefree. And then all of a sudden, you know, the worst horror and tragedy that you could ever imagine, and, you know, happens. And at the blink of an eye, people are dying, and all you're trying to do is get people out, and especially your family at first. And so I was really lucky. I was able to get my family out super fast within the first couple rounds of fire. And I was, you know, as we were running out, I helped a young man lay a female down that was lifeless. And I knew at that moment that, you know, God called me and said, you need to go back in. And so I kissed my wife and had her run off with my brother-in-law. And I turned around and ran back into the venue. And all I tried to do was, you know, I had two working legs and two arms that worked, and I was strong. And I tried as hard as I could, didn't stop for really 8 hours, lifting people up, carrying them over my shoulder, helping others carry people, checking for pulses. But, you know, it was a battle zone. It was a war zone. I had bullets flying by my head. At one point, you know, you're standing there and you're waving like a third base coach on a baseball field. You're waving people around the corner because they didn't realize that there was an exit point on the other side of these makeshift kind of, you know, beer trucks and things. And all of a sudden the fire is coming at you, and you're standing there, and all you can pray is just, you know, if I'm going down, please let these people out. And it was exhausting. You know, I lost some women in my arms that night that, you know, I still see every day, you know, in the end, I was able to get a lot of people out to those outside the walls, the EMTs that were off duty and the nurses. And this is a country concert, so there was a lot of fire. There were a lot of military people there that were all outside, you know, waiting for people to help. And the more I went in to that venue and came back out, the more people that were on the street, unfortunately injured, but there were two or three people now on top of them. And people started coming back out of their hiding spots. And now really, you know, regardless of who you were, what your political view was or anything, people were helping people, and it was uplifting. And I remember at one point I was absolutely exhausted. And I set this girl down on the ground, and instantly someone, a EMT or someone got to her, and cause she was injured. And I stood up and somebody had tossed me a water cause I was crying out for water. I was so thirsty, and I poured the water over myself. And all I saw was just this long street full of people on top of people helping. And it gave me another round of just energy to run back in. And you thought you were under attack just because of the lack of communication, the injuries that had been sustained, the people that had been shot, unfortunately. And so it was about 8 hours later when I finally got back to my wife. And you quickly hit the reset button and you realize what's important in life, and everything that you thought, you know, all the small little drama things. And I'm not saying that those weren't important, but really, it really prioritizes your next step that you take in life and how you treat people and your family and everything. And I deal with PTSD every day. One thing I had a tremendous outreach of support just through the media globally. I had all kinds of people telling me, you know, listen, you need to get support. You need to get some therapy. And a buddy of mine's a fire captain in San Francisco. And he said, you need to get EMDR therapy. It's what we use as the firefighters. It's what military uses. It's for, you know, combat vets. Well, it's not really just for combat vets. It's for anybody that suffered any type of major anxiety or trauma, traumatic event in their life. And so I went through EMDR therapy, found a an amazing therapist. She was my godsend. Her name's Diane up in Frisco and Texas. And she, you know, worked with me for about a year and a half, and it really helped me put the pieces back into in order of what happened that night. So then I can process each minute of where my boots took me, process, cry. I'm not a crier. I'm, you know, I was raised very tough, very, very strong. You know, no blood, no foul type mentality with my parents and my dad, especially. And, but you know, you learn that it's okay to let it out. You need to, you know, let that swelling subside and in the back of your mind and really talk about things. So, you know, I have a tremendous support team that we still are there for each other. And it's, you know, from a Navy SEAL to Secret Service, to an FBI agent, to a LAPD Metro officer, to a regular person like me that has been through a traumatic event. And we're just there for each other. And, you know, I try to make it a mission to spread that awareness of EMDR. There's some great resources out there. EMDRIA.com is a great website for anybody suffering with PTSD to get on there and search for a therapist. Unfortunately, going through that event, baseball, the way I live my life, growing up, I think it shaped me for something it gave me that don't stop mentality. And I was really blessed to have been there to help those that needed help. So,
well, thank you for what you did and touching so many lives and certainly inspiring us all. So that's a really amazing story. What I'd love to finish with here is the next big stuff that you're working on. I know you've always got that mind going. So talk to us about anything you can share that you've got is kind of the next big thing, or things that you see in sports that are the next big thing.
Well, good. Thank you for the transition. I appreciate that. on to some smiles now. I also work with Pocket Radar, and they're an amazing company. They, you know, track radar velocity readings in sports. They've been around for about 10 years. I work with them, and, you know, just amazing group of minds in the tech space, and, you know, just experience that they've had over the many years. So that's pushed me to continue to push on my development side with the Scout Hub. And we just launched a brand new College Coach Finder portal, which gives access right now to over 45,000 college coaches and their contacts at $10 a month. And it's crazy in the pricing, but this is what I want to do. I built it. I know how to build these things. These lists are always updated. And what it does now is it gives the athletes an opportunity to showcase their game on their custom webpage, the athlete resume. And now the parents and the coaches and the organizations and even small recruiting companies are using this service now that I've just provided, giving access to 10,000 football coaches, 5,000 baseball, 5,000 softball, and on and on. And, everybody's going to make money here and there. It's a business. I get it. But I'd rather the athletes and the parents spend more money on the development side, spending money with someone like yourself, learning more about the branding of themselves, because you can have all the tools in the world, but if you don't have the meat, if you don't have the positive things, the benchmarks to put on those things, are you really going to get searched? And so I want to try to partner with great people like yourself to come in and provide guidance to these athletes. So that way, when they do get recognized and a coach looks at their resume, say, for example, it's inspiring, you know, and I want every kid to have that opportunity to succeed, whether it's making a team. Not everybody can play college sports. Not everybody can play varsity baseball or softball or any type of sport, but having that ability to have some sort of feeling of success and walk away from the game at that time and know, like, hey, I gave it everything I had. I had a lot of fun. And I'm moving on with the next stage of my life. And I'm going to bring everything I learned as an athlete into that. And that's what I'm doing today. So it's pretty awesome. I really enjoy building that stuff. So.
Yeah, and you do a great job and certainly became a pliable athlete, no doubt about that. Let's talk about one last thing here would be best advice for today's athletes. It changed a lot since your days, your dad's days. What would be a piece of advice you'd give to an athlete today?
Yeah, I think back when my dad played, when I played, especially in the recruiting side or player exposure side, we didn't have to go to all the showcases and things. The good athletes were just, you know, they were talked about. We didn't have a lot of digital, you know, social media wasn't a big thing. Now it seems like social media is everywhere and it's great. And it could be a viable tool for athletes to be able to expose their game. But I think that athletes need to be able to take a step back and they need to look at themselves and look at their own game. Don't always compare yourself to the next kid on the block. That next kid on the block might be a 6'3 runner and a 60. You might be a 7'4 runner. You're not comparable to him or her, or that swimmer may swim laps around you. But what is it that you provide? What is it that you're good at? And really hold on to that and then try to work on those deficiencies in those areas of your, not only your game on the field, but also off your grades. Just take a really nice snapshot of yourself. I think life speeds up, you know, way too fast. I'm watching ball games and I'm seeing kids that don't know how to run bases. I'm seeing kids that don't really have an idea or a concept on getting warmed up for a game properly. And I know a lot of that falls on coaches, right? I mean, we as coaches need to make sure we're instilling those consistencies, those routines in the athletes' mindset. But if an athlete isn't taught that, then they're never really going to know. So be a student of the game. Try to figure out, you know, what is it that kid on the next block is doing right? And maybe I should try that too. So, and you know what? Go out and have fun. And I know people say that a lot, and probably with my experience and what's happened to me over the last 5 years, especially going through what I went through, life is really short. It really is. And parents, one day, and my day's coming up because I'm getting ready to watch my son's last high school baseball game and all the miles that we took all over the country, taking him to tournaments and showcases and all the lessons and everything that we did and all the great times we had, it's coming to an end. And so what do we do from there? We got to now, you know, change our gears and walk down a different path. Luckily he's playing college baseball, so I get to continue to watch him play, but there's a lot of parents that aren't. And so really enjoy the moment right now that you have. I mean, really enjoy it. So
that's a great point. I like to end on that because, as you said, life is too short, and I think your story is a perfect example of that. So really appreciate the time, Todd. I want to thank you for coming on the podcast, and please keep up the great work.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate you.
All right. All right, friends. I'm Greg Glenn. I'm glad you could tune in, and stay pliable, my friends.
Thanks for listening to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes from today's episode and catch up on recent episodes at pliablemarketing.com. We also encourage you to share topics and guest ideas by emailing our production staff at pliablemarketing@gmail.com. We love hearing from our loyal listeners and athletes who want to grow their brand. So jump in and be part of the podcast because that's how we roll.